Welcome to the Christ Church of Orinoco Impact Ministry Podcast. My name is Drake Holderman. I'm the Missional Impact Minister here, and I'll be our host through our next series. Comis Manos is a ministry partner of Christ Church of Orinoco and a school to persons who are deaf in Matamoros, Mexico. Christ Church and Comis Manos have been partners in ministry for 19 years and counting. This is the third episode of our three-part series. In this conversation, we speak with Cynthia, a student at Comis Manos, and two members of her family, her mother Nereida and her sister Adriana. A startling reality for many persons who are deaf is that those closest to them, family, friends, co-workers, do not learn sign language in order to communicate with their loved ones. In fact, most of the families connected to a student at Comis Manos have not learned sign language, but Cynthia's family has. In this conversation, we learn from Cynthia and her family about the power of love in overcoming barriers in a home. This interview was conducted with the help of Chuy and Michelle Zuniga. Chuy translated in Spanish and Michelle translated in Mexican Sign Language. It will be Michelle's voice that you hear speaking on behalf of Cynthia and her family. Special thanks to the Zunigas for making this interview possible. This interview is also recorded via video for Cynthia to share with her community of deaf persons. The purpose of this podcast is to inform and inspire those of us at Christ Church toward prayer, generosity, and involvement with Comis Manos. Let's begin. Cynthia, what was it like growing up as a child in a home where you were the only person who was deaf?
When I was born, I know that I was premature. I was really little, and I don't know why I was born without hearing. I don't know exactly what age I was when I realized. I would put things up to my ears, and I would notice, like, I have no idea what's going on. And my mom had wind chimes outside, and I would put them up to my ears, and I didn't hear anything. And my parents got really scared, and they're like, what happened? What happened? And at nighttime, when I was alone, I was wondering, it's dark. I can't see anything. I can't hear anything. Is my brain working? And I would put things up to my ears. And honestly, I got scared. I thought, well, I don't feel sick. I feel healthy. I don't know. I was probably maybe even three when I realized that I didn't hear anything. I would see a bus go by, and I would see people were reacting to a loud noise, but I didn't. And I thought, okay, I feel healthy. My body's fine. And I really noticed, like, my ears, so weird. Sometimes my family would go out. People would have earplugs in, like earphones, and they would be listening to things. And I would be standing there with my dad, and I would see people, like, sitting down on benches and things, and I would just be watching them. And I think that's about the time I realized, okay, this is really strange. I don't understand what it means to hear. Like, time would go on, and I realized I wasn't acting the same way other people were. It was like probably a weekend, probably a Saturday, that I was given hearing aids. And I put the hearing aids on. I went to the DEEF, which is like family services. They would tell me, start talking. And I had so many doubts. I would open my mouth and I thought, I can't do this. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. And when I started middle school, I was in secondary school, and I would go into the school and I would be so embarrassed because we would get these big books and people would stand up. And through, like, maybe even three of them would be standing up in front with a book, and the teacher would be talking, and I would flip through the book, and then somebody would say, okay, now you talk too. And I would open my mouth, and I had no idea what was going on. I think they wanted me to read out loud, but I didn't understand anything. And they would make fun of me, and they would laugh at me, and all I was watching was their reactions. And I would have to say, okay, calm down. And I would go home with my mom and dad, and I would say, okay, calm down. It was like a long time. It was books, and not understanding. So I would put my hearing aids in. I would go and sit and like at the doctor's or I would go sit at the school and they would say, okay, talk. And then write down what you hear on the notebook. And I didn't know what to write down. I was so confused. I wasn't hearing what was going on. It was really, really difficult because I felt really different. I was like, okay, is my mind broken? My mouth broken? My ears broken? The teacher's talking. I can't go up and ask her what's going on. I remember seeing a person for the first time. I think I was 15 years old and I saw another person like me, but they were moving their hands. And I came here to the school for the very first time. And my mom and dad stayed home and I came. I was like, okay, great. Another thing I don't understand. Now I don't know sign language. And then they would like over and over and over again, okay, now you have to learn this. Now you have to learn this. And I would forget things. And I thought I would just watch people's hands. Okay, do this, and do it again and again and again. Sometimes I would forget. Sometimes I was like, okay, I don't focus on my hearing. Don't focus on trying to talk. Just focus my brain on signing. I can do it. I can do it. And then all of a sudden, I was doing it. And I was 16 years old and I was going more and more and more to school and I was learning sign language now. I would tell myself, okay, calm down. You're strong. You're determined. You can do this. And then over time, I was learning all of the different words for different objects. It was more words, memorizing signs. I remember it was probably around 2018. Oh, sentences. Okay, those are really confusing. All of these words, now we're putting words together. That's what Spanish is. Oh, now I have to sign and I have to know how to write words in a sentence. I think by 2019, things were getting easier. 2020, my mom was really pushing me, encouraging me. You can do it. You can memorize. You can do this. You know how to count. And I was asking for help more and more and more. Things started to get easier. Now, when I see words on a sentence in Spanish, I notice things like, oh, okay, that word, I know that word has a sign. I remember that word, I've memorized it. And I'm just so thankful to God that he has helped me. I never loved trying to learn how to talk with my mouth, but I love being able to sign. And it's really good for me. And it's good that I'm able to continue learning. And it's really important for me to be able to just focus and think about, okay, sign language. I really, really like that.
I love your positive attitude. You had a condition that not many people have, and you pursued through hard times to learn sign language. It's very encouraging to hear your story of growing up and pursuing education and learning and triumphing over difficulties. And I just want to say thank you for sharing that with me and with our church. I would like to ask you, Ms. Nareda and Adriana, a couple of questions about what it's like to live in a family where one of your loved ones is deaf. Ms. Nareda, Cynthia is your daughter and you love her very much. When Cynthia was a baby, what was it like for you and for your husband to realize that your daughter was deaf and that you were going to have to adapt your lifestyle in ways that were different from other families?
Okay, so when I was pregnant with my daughter, everything with my pregnancy was going really well. Every month I was taking care of my appointments at the doctor's and everything was going really well until the 8th month of my pregnancy and I started having contractions. And when I went to the hospital, the doctor said, after checking me, said, your baby is not going to be born alive. And I said, wait, what? I had been going to the doctor every month. I hadn't missed appointments. Everything had been a good, clean bill of health. There shouldn't be any problem. What do you mean? What's going on? And they ended up saying that they had to do a cesarean. And so I went into the operating room and they told me that I had a little girl and she was very, very small and that she wouldn't survive. And I said, okay, I want my daughter and I want to be able to get her out of here and take her home. And God will decide at that point what he's going to do with her life. And so my daughter was in an incubator for 2 months. And that's when the doctor said, my daughter isn't going to live or she isn't going to hear. So I brought my daughter home after 2 months at the hospital, and you know, she was a premature little 2 month old baby, and there's, you know, she's not going to tell me if she can hear or not. And so it wasn't until she was about 8 months old, and then we would start doing just little test checks at home to see if she was reacting to sounds, and she wasn't. So we took her to a doctor at 8 months, and he said, honestly, there's no way for us to tell if she can hear or not. There's no way to really get a good check on that. And so we would continue to do like our tests, but we knew at that point that she was deaf. So at 8 months, when we were pretty sure that she was deaf, and even though we didn't have a formal diagnosis, honestly, we didn't think about the future. We didn't think about how are we going to educate her? How are we going to raise her? How are we going to guide her, teach her how to be an independent person? We brought her home. We loved her. And that she was our first child. She was our first daughter. And just loving her and being so thankful that she was with us was the only thing on our mind.
Cynthia was 15 when she came to Comis Manos. How long was Cynthia at Comis Manos before you and your husband and your daughters made the decision to all learn sign so that you could communicate with Cynthia?
So Cynthia came in October, and I started coming in December of the same year.
I've heard from Chewy and Michelle that there's a lot of other families who do not know sign. A lot of the other families won't give the time or effort to learn sign language. I've also heard that even most of the students at Comis Manos families don't know sign, that you're one of the few. I'm curious, so many other families have chosen not to learn sign to communicate with their loved one, whether it's their child or their sibling. Why did you guys choose to, as a family, learn sign language when so many other families won't?
So the first day that Cynthia attended classes here, she came, and when she got back home, there was a smile on her face and she looked different. And I said, oh, what, that like got my attention. What's changed? My daughter is coming back different.
Did you start taking classes to learn sign language, or how did you learn sign language?
So honestly, when I first came, I just went into the classrooms and I saw everybody signing. And I thought, these are all crazy people. They are flailing their hands around and they act like they understand each other. We use our mouths to talk. We need words to talk. We don't need to move our hands around to talk. But then I was paying attention to my daughter and she would respond and she acted like she understood and that she was paying attention and she was participating in the conversations. And so little by little, I said, okay, if Cynthia's understanding this, I need to understand this. And honestly, it was just started out with just paying attention and just deciding, okay, I have to figure out what they're saying to her and I have to figure out what she's saying to them.
Adriana, can I ask you a few questions about being a sister? When you realized that your sister, Cynthia, was deaf and that she was starting at a school where she was going to learn sign language, and then your mom started to go to learn the sign language, how did that make you feel? Did you want to learn sign language right away, or were you skeptical about it?
The interpreter is crying. So... when my sister and my mom started coming here and learning sign language at first, I thought, this is really difficult. How am I going to do this? And but I have to, because she's my sister and she's the only deaf sister I have. And so it's something that I'm just going to have to figure out how to do. It's going to be something that I have to do because I love her. And I have to be able to talk to her. So when I first came here and they had sign language classes for family members, and the thing that surprised me the most was I grew up thinking that my sister was the only deaf person. I had never seen another. And when I came here, the first thing that shocked me was that there were more people like my sister. And that was the first time I had met more deaf people and more families like ours. And I started learning sign language just little by little coming here and practicing. And I'm still learning sign language. But I do it because I love my sister. And I know that she's an example for many people. And I want her to have an excellent, successful life. And if I can help her as her sister, then that's what I want to do. I know it's not something that's easy, but little by little, we're doing it.
Thank you for sharing that. I know that it's, we're going to run out of tissues. Cynthia, I would like to ask you some of the final questions. I just asked your mom and your sister about what it's like to try and learn sign language. And we recognize that there are a lot of other families who have not chosen to learn sign language. How has it made you feel to know that your mom, your dad, and your sisters have put in hard work to try and learn sign language to communicate with you?
Okay, so how do I feel my mom and dad and sisters now that they're starting to communicate more? For instance, we'll do things at home with my littlest sister, like I'll write or she'll write something in a book or in a notebook and she'll show it to me, a word, and then I'll show her the sign. And we do it back and forth and back and forth and back and forth so that she's remembering it. And she helps me remember the word and I help her remember the sign language. And it's just a process, little by little by little. It's like, okay, now I need to not forget something. Now every person in my family needs to not forget something too. And so we're all, I feel equal. And I feel sometimes they're waiting for me to guide them in their learning. But now I don't feel the pressure that I did before, that I have to be able to speak with my mouth and just knowing that I can sign. And I look at some of the kids that are here that are just a little younger than my youngest sister and how they need their family members in their houses to be able to communicate. And they don't. And so the same thing that I use with my little sister to learn, here's a word in a notebook and here's how you say it. That's what I'm doing here with the little kids so that they're learning how to understand. They're learning how to remember. It's difficult, but it's a different kind of difficult. It just means you have to persevere and keep going. And now that I see like my sister, Adriana, when we go to the store together, when we make a grocery list and we're saying, okay, you need to buy rice, you need to buy pens, not pencils, you need to buy pens. And like, for example, 2 days ago, my mom was standing at the door of the house and my dad was working on a wood project. So he's making cabinets for our house. And I walked out and they were signing to each other without me even being there. And I was able to watch them communicating. And I had a conversation with my dad. And they both understood me and they understood each other. And I was just so thankful to God that God has really helped me and has strengthened the love in our family. And just encouraging each of us and each other.
Cynthia, I would like to know if there's anything else you would like to say about what it means when loved ones like family or friends can communicate in sign language. Specifically, is there anything you would like to let other people who may listen to this podcast know who may be considering learning sign language so that they can communicate with their loved ones?
So my cousin Lupita, I'll show her like something written on a notebook and she doesn't understand. And I want her to be able to learn sign language and different words, to be able to learn, because she has special needs and she doesn't communicate. She's not deaf, but she, has some other difficulties and her mom and her don't talk. They don't have any communication. And I wish that they would learn sign language. I want them to learn sign language. It doesn't matter if you're not saying big, long sentences. Just start with the basics. Start with objects. Start with how you're feeling. Just start with something and help the people that need sign language to not feel alone. Like when I look at people, and they're going to learn a language, really it unites us. It brings peace. And that's the most important thing, I think. And that's really all I have to say.
Well, thank you for saying that. And I appreciate your bravery and your honesty with us in this conversation. The way that God has worked in your family is beautiful and it's amazing. Thank you guys so much for sharing your story. We really appreciate it. This will be a blessing to our church in Missouri.
Thank you for listening to this conversation. Our hope is it has informed you and inspired you to become involved through prayer, generosity, and involvement with Con Mis Manos. To learn more about how you can get involved with the ministry of Con Mis Manos, please visit their website at conmismanos.org.